All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation 17. Revelation chapter 17. I'm sure that all of us are familiar with the prophecy that is given here in this 17th chapter. It is a prophecy concerning the kingdom of the beast, the kingdom of the beast, and we have just 18 verses to describe this, and right in the middle in verse 9 it says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom." All right, so what the Holy Spirit tells us here are what he tells us is the interpretation of the symbols that are used in this book. And verse 9, he said, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." All right, so who is the woman? Well, go back to verse 1, and it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come up hither, and I will show unto thee the judgments of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." In verse 4, it says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery," what's the next word? "Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." And then verse 9, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb." All right, so we are reading here. This passage of Scripture gives us insight that before the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, there will be a kingdom. There will be an empire that will make war, verse 14, with the Son of God. All right, now we have spent the last 4 months, 3 months, we have spent all that time looking at all of those Old Testament passages of Scripture. All of those great Old Testament prophets spoke to us about the second coming of Christ, and how when the Lord Jesus comes back, there is going to be an alignment, there is going to be a confederation of nations that will that Christ will do battle with. And we saw it in Isaiah, we saw it in Ezekiel, We saw it in Joel and Amos and in the Psalms through David's writings. We saw it in the law as Moses was talking about it prophetically. We saw it in Zechariah and all the other Old Testament books. And the amazing thing is that all those Old Testament prophets name names. They give specific names of specific countries and people that ironically form a crescent around the little tiny nation of Israel. And so the argument that that we have heard for the last, as long as I've been saved, the argument that we have heard is that there will be a man rise up called the Antichrist, which I think is rather strange because the term Antichrist is not even mentioned in the book of the Revelation. There is no such person named in Revelation as the Antichrist. Strange. You say, well, where do you get Antichrist? You get it from from John, but not in Revelation. You get it in 1 John, where he talks about in the latter days Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist will rise. So what do you read when you get to Revelation? You don't read the Antichrist, you read a beast. A beast. A beast. Look at your Bible. It says in verse 5, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. So it's really what we have been taught, what we have all heard all of our Christian life, is that this Antichrist is going to rise on the scene and that he is going to come out of Europe. And that then a false prophet is going to rise up, and the false prophet is going to be the Pope, and they're going to establish this great worldwide empire and rule the world. And that is a theory, but as I've stated to you for the last 4 months, every time I have taught that, there are certain verses and certain passages and certain phrases that have thrown me, and rather than deal with it, basically I just fly right over it and just keep going and stick with the main thing that I was taught all those years. Now, the amazing thing is, that's a theory. Here's the good part. We're not going to be here. All right, now that's the good part. All right, so whether the Antichrist is somebody that comes out of Europe, and whether the false prophet is a pope that comes out of the Catholic Church, that's immaterial to me, to be honest with you, because I'm not going to be here. And the Bible does tell us that the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. So there's no need in speculating who the Antichrist is, because the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. And so what I am suggesting to you is some things that that are being widely reported on and widely written about and widely studied today, because in the last several years since 9/11, there's been an awful lot of brilliant people who have taken the time to find out what the Islamic religion is all about. And it is more than just a bunch of people with turbans on their heads, and it's a whole lot more than just a bunch of people that get on their knees on a prayer rug and turn their bodies toward Mecca and pray several times a day. There's a lot more to it than that. There is an extremism that is built into the system. It's in their writings. It is real. And they believe it with every fiber of their being. If Christians in America were half as consecrated to Christianity as the Muslim people are consecrated to Islam, we would have already turned the world upside down for Christ. The Quran is just a little bit bigger than our New Testament. And there are multitudes of Islamic families, and they train this, they teach them this in school. They memorize the Quran in elementary school. Now, not everybody does it because they can't. They don't have the ability. But it is taught, and they memorize the Quran in school. They know what that book says a whole lot better than what Christians know what our book says. And so if you think that what happened on 9/11 and what subsequently has been happening with all these attempts and efforts, folks, it is just sheer grace that bomb did not go off in Times Square last 2 weeks ago. It is just the intervention of God. Now, that guy had that vehicle loaded down. He was trained on how to build that bomb. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he had it ready to go. Now, the problem was God intervened and it didn't blow up and kill a bunch of innocent people in Times Square. Now, I want you to realize that we've had the shoe bomber, we've had the underwear bomber, and now we've had this guy that tried to blow up this thing in New York. We've had the planes fly into the buildings, Twin Towers in New York City. We had the planes fly into the Pentagon. There's been other attempts. They are relentless. Do you realize, though, thank God for his blessings upon our country? Realize this, folks. Israel has been putting up with this since 1948. Day after day, year after year. It is nonstop. And so these people are serious. They are serious. And when you read the Quran, and when you read their prophetic writings by their church, what they call their church leaders, and when you read the hadiths that are the writings of Muhammad, and you read them and you study them, you see an eschatology unfold. The word eschatology means ology, the study of. Eschatos is future things, and so the study of future things. Just as this Bible has an eschatology, Islam has an eschatology. And Islam's eschatology talks about how that in the last days, the caliphate, which is the ruling elders, would disband. But then in the last days of Islam, it would come back together. And when it came back together, it would do so under the direction and the leadership of the 12th Imam, a holy man, And they have a name for this holy man. He is called the Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. This Mahdi is all through their writings. And what this Mahdi is going to do in their writings is he is going to conquer the world for Islam. He is going to conquer the world for Islam. Now, do you want to know who comes alongside the Mahdi and helps him? In Islamic writings, it is Jesus. Our Jesus. This Jesus. You say, why are they throwing the Lord in there? Well, Mahdi has got to have some help. And Jesus is going to play the role of the enforcer. And he is, when he came to the Jews, remember John 1:11? 1:10, 11, 12, he came to the Jews, came into his own, and his own what? And they will tell you that he is coming back he will come with the Mahdi, and in their writings, the Mahdi is introduced in Mecca, the city in Saudi Arabia, you've seen the cube, where they all go on to the Hajj, and they pray at the cube. And what they're saying in their writings is that the Mahdi will be introduced to Islam there at the cube, and that Jesus will appear, and the Mahdi will speak to Jesus and ask him if he has anything he wants to say, and Jesus will take a servant's position and will walk behind the Mahdi as if subservient to him, and will kneel to the Mahdi. You got it. And now, and so then the Mahdi will announce that Jesus is going to continue what he came 2,000 years ago to do. Only this time he is not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He is preaching Islam. And you either do what Islam says. Islam means to submit. And a Muslim is one who submits. So the Mahdi will have Jesus preach Islam, and you will either submit or you will have your head removed. And that's in their writings. And so it fits right along with what I've said, that Islam is just Christianity upside down. It's just Christianity upside down. All right, now here is this kingdom. This is, when we get to the 17th chapter of Revelation, go back real quickly. Go back to chapter 1. Look at verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Right there is a 3-point outline to the book of the Revelation. Point one, write the things, past tense, which thou hast seen. Past tense. That's chapter 1. The things which are, present tense. That's chapter 2 and chapter 3, the church age, where we are right now. And then the things which shall be hereafter, that's future tense. That starts at chapter 4 and goes to the end of the book. Now, when you get to the 17th chapter, you are at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. The church has already been raptured out. We got raptured out in chapter 4 at the end of the church age. So we're in heaven. That's why I said, that's the point that I was wanting to make, and I got sidetracked like I always do. And whether it's a guy rises up out of Europe and the false prophet is the Antichrist, or the Pope is a false prophet, whether that's the scenario, or whether you make it consistent with all the Bible and you have the nations of the crescent, which are all listed in the Bible, and you have an eschatology here, and then you hold up Islam and you have an eschatology there, whether you take the see that Islam is this beast, if you see that, which I think is pretty clear, if you see the Mahdi as the Antichrist and this false Jesus, remember, John said over and over that in the last days, many shall come. Paul said it, and John said it, and Peter said it. They all said it. And Jesus himself. Jesus said, you will hear people say in the last days, come, Christ is over here. And he said, do not believe it. Do not believe it. And so, whether you believe it's some guy from Europe and the Pope, or whether you believe it's the Mahdi and a false Jesus, the devil incarnate, I mean, however, it doesn't matter. We're not going to be here. But what I'm trying to get you to see is all the nations of the crescent, starting with Turkey, going all the way over to all the stand boys. You with me on? You know who all the stand boys are? One of them's presidents in Washington, D.C. right now. And isn't it strange that our president welcomes this one with open arms? But this one in the middle that he should have welcomed with open arms, he didn't even have his picture taken with him. Didn't even want to be seen in public with him. Oh. Turkey, all the stand boys. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, swinging on around, Somalia, Qatar, Qatar, as some people say. I have a problem. I can't say that for some reason. In hillbilly land, I learned Qatar. And I can't say Qatar. It just, Qatar, C-U-T-T-E-R. Okay. All right. Yemen. All these nations are mentioned in the Bible. Isn't that strange? And they're all mentioned in connection to the battle of Armageddon that we're reading about right here in this chapter. Verse 14, these all shall all make war. What war? The battle of Armageddon. The final battle, the conflict, where it's all headed. All right? So keep it in the context, and not just to fit somebody's theology, make our theology fit the Bible instead of the Bible fit our theology. And I think it makes perfect sense. All right, now, look carefully. Look carefully. This passage gives us insight that before Jesus returns, there will actually have been a total of 8 kingdoms. Now, do you see that? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. In verse 9, he said, here's the mind that hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. Mountains are what? Remember that? I proved that to you from the Bible. We looked at about 12 verses, if you remember. Mountains are empires. They're kingdoms. All right? The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. What's a woman? A spiritual entity. Remember Israel, always in the she, always a woman, always referred to as her. The church, always referred to in the feminine. The church is never a him, it's always a her. All right? And that, it's consistent throughout Scripture. And I gave you the illustration that in Catholicism, it is Our Lady of whatever. The name, Our Lady, Notre Dame means Our Lady in French. All right, so the church is always, it's a spiritual entity. The church is a spiritual entity, and it's always referred to as a woman in the feminine. All right, so here is this harlot. And of course, it's a woman. All right, verse 4, and the woman, the harlot, a woman. So here, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now look at verse 10, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. All right, so five fallen, one is, that's how many? This is not a test. I'm not trying to trick you. Five plus one. Take your shoes off if you have to. All right. Five plus one is six. Right? Okay. Verse 10. Five are fallen. One is. That's six. And the other, that makes how many? Seven. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, what's that? What is that? Go back to verse 10. And the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So he's going to be cut off. Do you see that in verse 10? He will go for a while and then he'll be cut off. Am I stretching that, or is that what you see? That's what it says, is it not? There is a kingdom coming. All right, watch. The five, Egypt. That was the first kingdom that ruled Israel. Egypt. It was conquered or assimilated by the Assyrians, and they ruled Israel. Remember, keep the focus in Israel. Number three, Babylon. They came and took Jerusalem from the Assyrians, who took it from the Egyptians. Keep the focus in Israel. The next one were the Medes and the Persians, and they ruled Jerusalem. That's four. Then number five, the Greeks. So five are fallen. When did John write this? In about 100 AD. And who ruled Jerusalem in 100 AD? Rome did. All right. So there are seven kings. Five are fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, and Greeks. Five are fallen, and one is. The one is has to be Rome, because Rome was ruling at the time, present tense, that John wrote this. And the other is not yet come. So, there would be a kingdom out here somewhere. Right? Okay, read on. There would be a kingdom out there somewhere. And notice, when he cometh, he must continue a short space. In other words, not going to rule long. Ruled long enough, but not going to rule as long as these others ruled. All right? Verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. All right, now watch. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greeks, five passed, one is Rome. Then, out here somewhere would be a seventh kingdom. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And out here is a seventh kingdom. Now, how many mountains is the beast sitting on? Seven. Look at the wording. Look at the wording in verse 11. And the beast that, watch, and the beast that was this one right here after Rome. Remember now, he said it would rule for a little while, but then it would stop. And so the beast that was. Now let's go over here now into the tribulation period. And when we look back, John says the beast that will be during the tribulation period will be the beast that will come out of number seven. Look at your Bible, don't look at me. Isn't that what it says? But yet we want the beast to rise out of number six. And the Bible very clearly says that the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. We know who the eighth kingdom is. It's the beast, the Antichrist. We know who the sixth is. The sixth was Rome. It was ruling when John wrote this. The only one we don't have identified is the seventh. Now, what other empire, looking back through history, did the same thing in Israel? Remember, keep it Jerusalem-centered. What country did in Israel what the Egyptians did, the Assyrians did, Medes and Persians, Babylonians, Medes and Persians, Greeks, Romans? What nation, what peoples, what kingdom did in Israel what all those did? And the answer is, the Ottomans, the Turks, the Byzantine Empire. And by the way, when the Byzantines came in, when Rome, the Roman Empire, divided into two halves, it divided in 395 A.D., and when it divided, I want you to act like you're looking at a map. All right, here's the Mediterranean. Here's the Mediterranean. Over here's Greece. Over here's Italy. All right, so here's the Mediterranean. And from right here where Turkey is, where Turkey comes up and you have the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire, it was called Constantinople. And of course, Rome was the capital of the western half of the empire. All right? They, in 395 AD, Rome gave up on the eastern part. They just gave it up. They said, we can't afford it. We can't afford to pay them. We can't afford to have soldiers there. You people can have it. And they just moved everything back over into Europe. So they left Asia over here, and it became known as the Byzantine Empire. All right? Now, do you want to know who rose up at the beginning of the Byzantine Empire and came out with this book, this religion, and a book to go with it, and rallied around him a bunch of men, and they just went from village to village, town to town, people to people, conquering and enslaving and plundering and raping and murdering. You want to know who it was? His name was Muhammad. And that's where Islam got its start. That's where Islam got its start. And today, all of these nations that made up the Ottoman Empire, all of these nations are all Islamic people to the core. All of them. And by the way, they're all mentioned by name in your Old Testament scriptures. Folks, it only stands to reason that this eighth empire is going to be not a revival of Rome, but a revival of number seven. How many times must Rome, which is number what? It says it's going to be revived. How many revivals are they going to have? If they're revived, they would become number seven. Right? But we know that the Antichrist kingdom is number eight. Is it revived twice? No. The kingdom that was yet to come, which would continue for a little while, that kingdom is the one that is going to be a revival for the beast kingdom. Now, what was this Ottoman Empire? Here's what it was. Right there. The nations of the Crescent. And it was during this time when Islam flourished. And today, every one of those nations have one thing in common, and that's their religion. That's their religion. I told you briefly, America, we had our heads in the sand. We had our heads in the sand. We got a warning in, 1998? We got a warning when they blew the bombs up down in the basement of the World Trade Center. But we didn't pull our heads out to say, wait a minute, what was that? No, I don't think anybody even looked up. You didn't even look up. You would think that somebody in the State Department or somebody in the White House, somebody in Congress would have said, wonder what these people believe, and looked at it. And you know, here we are. I mean, you know, I think, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of awake. I'm kind of watching. But I tell you, the devil, he knows his business. And he's got us in such a political correctness mindset. You know, you see a guy with a turban on his head, with a one-way ticket, no luggage. Excuse me. And I told you this. George Washington was president. 1776. George Washington's president of the United States. And he had Thomas Jefferson as his ambassador to France. And he had John Adams as his ambassador to Britain. And this Ottoman Empire was in full glory, man. They were in full steam. They ruled the Mediterranean. You read about the Barbary pirates when you were in school? Muslims. Radical, thieving, stealing, brutal Muslims. And they were ruling the Mediterranean. And they captured our ships and our cargo and our people and took them down to Tripoli in Morocco and some of the Cairo, Egypt and Istanbul, and they sold them as slaves. And Thomas Jefferson or George Washington, he didn't know what to do with them, so he sent Thomas Jefferson and John Adams down to meet with one of their leaders, And this leader said to Thomas Jefferson, he asked him, why do you hate us so much? Listen to what he said. He said, Islam was founded on the laws of their prophet Muhammad. And it was written in the Quran that all nations who should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners, and that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they can be found, and to make slaves of all they could to take as prisoners, and that every Muslim who should be slain in jihad was sure to go to paradise. Hey, folks, 230-some years ago. Does that not sound familiar? Since 9/11, have we not heard that? You think these people are joking? They're serious as they can be. They are as serious as they can be. As I told you last time, every time you hear the Marine Corps hymn, Thomas Jefferson became president in 1800-something. And when Thomas Jefferson became president, he said, that's enough. I will not give those people another dime. Because they were paying them millions. Washington paid them millions to use the Mediterranean. And he just paid them. They did what they wanted to do. And Thomas Jefferson said, that's enough. And the Marine Corps hymn says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. And Thomas Jefferson sent that ship Baltimore Harbor, down at the Inner Harbor. He sent that ship and about 10 others loaded with Marines. And they went over and they whooped those pirates and destroyed them. And then they marched across the Suez Canal into Cairo, and they whooped a bunch of them there. And then they marched from there to Tripoli, and they found thousands of Americans in the slave markets. And they set them free. And it didn't take but just another 100 years before the Ottoman Empire crumbled. And what caused their crumble, what finally was the nail, was World War I. And in World War I, they came out, Britain came out on top, and America. And when the final peace treaties were all drawn up, the Ottoman Empire was disbanded. The caliphate was abolished. And that was 1924. You with me? All right. If you were born after 1924, raise your hand. All right. That is the overwhelming majority of us. So none of us remember this, right? Right? None of us remember this. You ever been taught this in school? Me either. You haven't been taught? No, I wasn't taught this in school. No, I was taught they're a peaceful, loving people. Why, Islam is good. It's just another peaceful religion. Yeah, right. No, not peaceful. Not peaceful at all. And the sad thing of it is, every one of them, they know what their writings say. And so here comes old Osama bin Laden. And Osama rises up and he says, we got to help our Mahdi get here. We got to help him. We got to help him. And that's what precipitated all that has gone on in the last 10 years. It's coming. It's coming. And when it does, we'll hear that trumpet sound. Folks, I'm dying to say something. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Not right now. Not right now. Remember that old song back in the 70s, signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Folks, we are so close, I can smell it.